This is the Annie Fry Show.
The latest plan in Washington to support families with young children, the Trump account. It would give every American born between this year and January of 2029 a one-time $1,000 contribution to an investment account tracking a stock index. When the child turns 18, he or she could use the money in the account for education, to start a business, or buy a home.
Republicans are proud to be the party, we always have been, that supports life and families and prosperity and opportunity. And Trump accounts are all about setting up the next generation for success.
Well, what else is in the big, beautiful bill is the making permanent those really important Trump tax cuts that our friend Steve Moore has been talking about for a minute. And he joins us once again, the distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, a Trump economic advisor. Steve Moore, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Annie. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Now, we're a little bit closer than the last time you and I spoke to this big, beautiful bill getting signed into law. The Senate is going to have their way with it. How do you feel right now about the permanency of those Trump tax cuts?
Pretty good. You're right. We're in better shape than we were a few weeks ago, the last time we talked. By later this afternoon, we're expecting the Senate to announce what is in their bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so the House already passed a bill, and now we need to get this through the Senate. And then I think we're well on our way. So I'm feeling good about things. I say it every time on your show, we have to do this or else we're facing a $4 trillion tax increase on January 1st. So failure is not an option.
Yeah.
And every single Democrat in the House and Senate voted for the $4 trillion tax increase. So that's not a good sign, but I think we can do this with only Republican votes.
Steve Moore speaking with us right now. So I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we saw No Kings protest take place over the course of the weekend. And all I can gather from the opposition here in this country that lost to a majority of voters who chose Donald Trump is that they just hate Donald Trump. But when you have Democrats in Congress voting against these things, what do the congressional Democrats offer instead of making these Trump tax cuts permanent? What's the alternative?
You know, that's a great question. I'm thinking.
It's nothing.
Gee, what do they offer? More taxes, soak the rich, hit businesses with new taxes, open the borders, higher energy prices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad, actually. By the way, I'm not a rah-rah Republican. I never pretend to be, tell people all Republicans are the solution to all our problems because, you know, the overspending and debt problem is a bipartisan problem in Washington. Let's be very frank about that. But Democrats have become so wedded to big and powerful government that they don't care about the private sector now. It's all about growing the government and governmental power, which is ironic because they're the ones who said no kings when they're the ones who, you know, under Joe Biden had all these executive orders that were so counterproductive and they were never passed by Congress. And by the way, I don't even like, you know, the fact that Trump is doing this. We should have Congress approving these things. And that's why we have a legislative branch. And Congress has abdicated their responsibility on a lot of these issues.
Mm. You know, there's some dissension within Republican voters that have watched the House version of the Big Beautiful Bill. They don't think it cuts enough spending. They want to see more. And I'm hearing from people who are in the mix saying, listen, at some point, you just got to do the best work that you can do. And this is the Big Beautiful Bill is the best work the House can do. What's your assessment of that?
Yeah. Well, Annie, I very much doubt that you have anybody on your show who wants to cut government spending as much as I do.
Yeah, it's one so, asking you.
I'm very much in favor of, taking an axe to this budget and cutting at least $1 trillion a year out of the spending. And I got to tell you, I think we could easily do that. And most Americans wouldn't even know that the spending is missing. So I'm very much in favor of dramatic cuts in our budget. And to his credit, Elon Musk showed us how it can be done by just modernizing our government, getting rid of the duplication, getting rid of the fraud, getting rid of the waste. The fact is that you've got all these federal employees for the last 3 years haven't even been showing up for work. Come on, get a job. If you're not going to do that job, we're not going to pay you anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways we could cut the spending, but we do have to get. What I object to is some of my friends, and the conservative movement saying, well, let's hold the tax bill hostage. And I think that's dangerous because then we might not be able to get that done. And if we get that done, Republicans will clearly lose the House and Senate.
Yeah.
In November of next year.
It would be devastating, certainly. Before we let you go, we know you've got to run here in just a second. You've also been very clear with us on the show that you're not a tariff guy. You understand that Donald Trump is very much a tariff guy. This far into the system that Donald Trump is putting into place, have your thoughts on what Donald Trump is trying to do with tariffs? Have they moved at all?
Look, I think, I'm not a big fan of tariffs. I do like the idea of having a level playing field and using American power to force other countries to lower their punitive tariffs on America so we get more jobs here. So I applaud Trump for that. And I'd say, you know, remember the first 2 months were pretty brutal. Remember in the middle of April, it looked like I was on the ledge ready to jump off. I mean, I've lost so much money. But look at the stock market now. It's unbelievable. It's at all-time highs. We've got very low inflation, according to the latest report. We've got good jobs numbers. I mean, you got to, if you're a Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, you got to admit things are going pretty well right now. And I think part of that is because Trump has been able to get some of these trade deals done with some of our big trading partners. Now, the big one, of course, is China, and we'll see how that turns out. I'm a little skeptical about China because I don't trust those people in Beijing. They're communists. But, I feel like the economy, as I said on Fox News last night, I give it a B+. It's a pretty strong economy, and it's a lot better than it was when Biden was president.
Steve Moore, thank you for the time today. We're always grateful for it. We know you're a busy guy. We look forward to having you back again soon.
All right. Have a great one. Take
care. You too. Bye-bye. Steve Moore, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, a Trump economic advisor. And one of the things I appreciate about him greatly is his willingness to say, like, he's consistent. This guy is he big on the Trump tax cuts, which he was a very big part of constructing in Donald Trump's first term, that they have to get it through. And he had a run because he had a place to go. He's in high demand, and we're always grateful when we have him in. Ethan, I know you're over there working right now, but when I'm just curious, as we mentioned before, you're too young to understand what Spaceballs is, and I don't hold that against you. I can think of movies and that were like classic movies that my parents' generation would talk about, and I've never seen them. And
yeah, what would that have been like? Don't get offended. It's easy. A question. Is it like The Wizard of Oz? Is that too old? Like,
no, Wizard of Oz.
Would that be good? Well, a good example?
That would be a good one. But I've seen The Wizard of Oz. But, you know, when you are generationally detached, if you didn't have someone heavily influencing the exposure to certain things like that, then I can see how that would be like, yeah, I've heard about it. Everybody says it's great. But I'm always curious of the generational detachment and the advancement in entertainment and everything that would make it not relevant to your generation as it was before. But I want to ask you, as a young person on the show, when it comes to everything economy, to me, the economy and foreign policy are the two issues that happen that are heavily influenced by who you elect and send to Washington, D.C., who you elect in Missouri and send to Jefferson City, in Illinois to Springfield or wherever you might be, even your local governments, specifically with the economy. When you hear talks about tariffs, when you hear talks about, you know, different types of taxes, that clip we played at the beginning where, you know, the Trump party is looking to invest in families in the future. Do you lean into that at 24 years young and want to know all the details? Is there a part of you that still just wants to trust the big guys and gals in these important places to just work it out for you?
That's a really good question. And I think a lot of it has to do with, right, how, and this is different for the person, is how much you're willing to take, right? Because there's so much that goes into it, and understanding
it changes fast
all of,
too.
All of the economics and the financial world, and how it affects you. I think there's a responsibility for you to understand how it's going to affect you, and that's part of being a voter, is right, having that knowledge. But there is a level to it to where it gets sometimes so overwhelming that it's like I can't, for my own personal health.
Yeah,
I can't go that far with it. So I think it's a balance of both, right? To where you have to have a certain understanding and knowledge of it, but unfortunately, we should feel like we can trust our politicians to know what they're doing and to handle part of it. Because let's be honest, it's supposed to be their area of expertise, not ours.
Exactly. And, you know, I think everybody in their own line of work, you're 24, so a lot of your peers are probably graduated or graduating college or in getting into their careers and everything. If you're somebody who's in economics, for instance, I have a family member who is like a tax attorney, advises on how wealthy people, how they should place their money and things that they should do. the niche that you have great expertise would be super helpful in navigating all of these conversations, where the rest of us rubes are just like, the stock market is up, so I think the economy is good. And it's like, oh, honey, like, that's not even the half of it. Ryan, when did you, would you say that, like, how invested from a heart and a head standpoint are you in the economy and what people are doing to affect the economy?
I would say it's one of my top interests is the economy.
And you, that's a good word, because it's an interest. It affects you whether you're interested in it or not.
Yeah,
like
you got to deal with it one way or another.
You could choose to, I think a lot of people do that with foreign policy too. Like, what?
Although it doesn't affect you as deliberately as the economy does.
The foreign policy?
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, my point is that, like, it doesn't matter how much you care about it. The thing you get to do is vote. And if you vote, and, like, for instance, for the sake of the two of us, and you're in Illinois and everything is blue, that's just what you get. And if you want to do better, you're going to have to do more than vote. You're going to have to show up and persuade people. But the economy is something that, it, whether you invest interest in it or not, it will affect you greatly. And your participation in the process can garner, especially with the more local you get, a more positive outcome for you. But what Donald Trump is trying to do, in my opinion, is so transformative that you have to have a full grasp of how things actually function to understand why he wants to do things so dramatically different.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is a lot, and it's stuff that economists typically don't debate. So they're debating fiscal policy on it, raising interest rates and things in the Fed and back and forth. What are bond rates like right now? You know, this kind of like,
what is
the,
a bond,
where's the
rate?
Treasury and all these things. And then Donald Trump comes in and goes, we're putting a 150% tariff on this country. You're like, that's not even part of the conversation.
It kind of sounds like, and lefties, don't take this out and run with it. It kind of sounds like Dr. Evil saying $1 million. And then he's like, $1 trillion?
And everybody goes,
yeah. And I mean, like, when I'm listening to some of these economists, and I consider myself, I could get a passing grade on explaining things, on explaining what's happening. But I'm not sitting here coming up with my own economic philosophies on how we could maybe try something brand new and do something different. That's not what's happening with me, because I'm working my tail off to keep up with things. But this stuff really matters. And I, again, going back to how I opened the show earlier today, Saturday was an incredibly busy news day. There are a lot of things that you could throw yourself into and consume all day long regarding the news and the politics of what was going on. But I was golfing. So I just kind of was like, meh. All of these things that Donald Trump is doing right now, it's almost too involved for a lot of Americans to formulate their own thoughts on. So it's very easy to pull back and be like, do I like Trump or not? And if you don't like Trump, then you can get thousands of people to show up and say, we don't want a king. And Republicans on the other side are like, yeah, us either. July 4th, we the people of the United States, in order to form. I mean, like, we're here. Like, it's this no kings thing is the predicate for the United States of America. And we don't have a king. And if you're paying attention to what Donald Trump is doing and saying, you would understand that. But if it's complicated and it takes work and effort to understand why he might be doing things differently than have been done in the past, it's just a lot easier to say, I hate Trump, and go with it.
It is, because there's so much happening. You asked Ethan about the economy, and the one thing I hear from Gen Z, and this is just a general overview, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle that they're on, Gen Z, you always hear one of these same themes coming up, which is, I can't afford anything.
Yeah.
And that's always a young generation, because they don't make much money. Everybody at that age goes, I can't afford anything.
Except for they're making a ton of money compared to what we made at that time.
And they've seen inflation in action,
yeah,
in ways that other generations have not seen.
Yeah.
And so there's this kind of, there's this growing dissatisfaction with the way the economy had been working. And so Trump comes in and says, I'm going to blow it all. I'm going to do things completely different. And there's kind of an, okay, let's see where that goes.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody goes, we don't like the way that went.
I remember when I first got a raise that put me over $7 an hour. And I felt good about that.
I remember leaving nights from one of the golf courses I worked at with $40 in tips, thinking,
but you could do stuff for $40.
I'm going to have an amazing weekend.
Yeah.
$40.
Yeah, completely. Ugh, times are changing. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with the president and CEO of Greenway Therapy. We're going to have Kristen Neal back on the show. I'm excited to talk to her. She's a licensed professional counselor. And I think it was Virginia. I'll have the details of the story for you when we come back. Virginia, I think it was, passed a law that limits how much kids can be exposed to social media daily? Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
Is that to indicate that social media, phone usage, all of these different applications that our kids are using all the time on their phones are harming their mental health? And what are you supposed to do about it, especially from a generation that didn't grow up with it? Kristen Neal, she has the advice when we come back.